This parable is so complex and complicated that just skipping over it is a great temptation, or at least skipping the first part and just diving right into that second part about serving two masters. It is easy and perhaps lazy just to think that this is about making a choice between spiritual things and physical things, or between God and money. It might be helpful to know, by the way, that in some translations it says money, but in this one it says more correctly mammon. But we don't always get what that word means, do we? Mammon is bigger, something bigger than money, much bigger than money. It means anything of great value. It could mean property or livestock or crops or a home. So to get in touch with what Jesus is praising and with what he encourages here, we have to stay with the first part of the parable. This is not just about priorities in life or about comparative values, or for that matter, how to win friends. It's not about the dishonesty of this steward that gets the attention of Jesus, because some think that this may actually be a real situation at the time that everyone knew about. Someone they knew who'd been dismissed. What Jesus admires here and proposes as appropriate behavior for disciples is this man's decisiveness and his quick action. He decides to do something about his situation when he realizes that it's not going to last forever. There is no praise here for dishonesty or for cheating. This parable is about taking action without delay when someone realizes that there's going to come an accounting. There's going to be time to settle up with this so-called rich man. Anyone who goes through this life thinking that there is not going to come a time for accounting and a time before to stand before the rich man is a fool. The man in this parable is not foolish. For you and for me, there will come a time to account for what we have managed, what God has given us, not just money, but everything, including this earth itself. As our Holy Father Francis has reminded us again and again, how we treat this earth with its water and its air and its soil will be a matter for accounting, just as much as how we use all the other resources with which we've been charged and entrusted. It will not be wise to go for long fooling ourselves into thinking that God, or the rich man, as this parable calls him, isn't coming. Give an account of your service, says this parable, it's going to come to an end. There's the message. And this crooked manager knows and shows us that decisive action and a change in the way things are is what's called for. So Jesus suggests that we become clever and make some decisions quickly and wisely. That's what's praised in this parable. An awareness that an accounting is coming and a need to change and do something about it. In a very subtle way, it strikes me, this cleverness by this steward goes far beyond just making friends for himself. The consequence of his decision is much more than being liked by those whose debts he adjusted. Those people, especially in that culture and time, they would have known that such generosity was not his alone to grant. What he really ends up doing is making the rich man look really good and really generous, because those people would have thought that this is what the rich man wanted the steward to do. That's pretty clever. And making God look good or look like a generous God is pretty smart. So we proclaim today a gospel that announces that an accounting is going to come. We proclaim a gospel that proposes a quick change from the way things have been in terms of our management style and some decisive action now on our part. For we are the stewards, the managers here, who've been entrusted with quite a lot. And among all that, we've been entrusted with the poor, whom God favors. What we do for them and what we do with them, revealing a generous and loving God, will gain us more in the eyes of that rich man than we might ever imagine.